This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, over the last several months, you've been hearing me talk about Colorado Eye Consultants. I went under very successful cataract surgery with Dr. Fish here with Colorado Eye Consultants several months back, and it has been a game changer, a life changer. And, man, I just beg them to come on the show and let you know about all the fine doctors at Colorado Eye Consultants. And we've been working our way through the staff here, and glad to welcome to our show today Dr. Celine Satija. I knew I was going to mess it up. Satija, right?
You got it.
All right. Good deal. How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. Well, hey, thanks for taking a few minutes. I know you guys are busy, and love to get you on the show. One thing, I read your bio, and it says, I treat every patient like family. I will spend the time understanding your concerns so that we can find the approach that works for you. Does that kind of sum up just the way you do business, so to speak?
Absolutely. I feel like, you know, I just try to get to know my patients and understand what they need and what they want from their eyes and their vision, and try to meet them on their level. I think when we create a relationship, like, we want it to be a relationship that you have with us for, like, the rest of your life.
Right, right.
So we're, you know, we're not just going to do your cataract surgery and say, see you later. We want to kind of meet you on your level and see what we can provide over time.
Right. And, you know, a lot of times, I guess some patients, they know something about the eye, but this is something that most of us, we don't know much about. And let's be honest, it's kind of scary.
You know,
I mean, I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah.
When I came in for cataract, and then they're talking about, you know, and I never should have done this. Of course, I Google a deal and watch a video, and I'm like, oh, my, they're going to be doing that. But it was, I tell people, and I've done a lot of orthopedic stuff, but I said, that is the simplest medical procedure I've ever done in my life. It's just a cataract surgery, you know. And, you know, with your team being right here in the surgery center right here, it just made it so good.
Yeah. We want that. Yeah. We know it's scary to undergo these medical procedures. And I think the eye, like, not just for patients, but even for other doctors, it's like such a complex thing that they just don't know anything about. So I spend a lot of time trying to just educate people so that they understand the conversation we're having. And then I think they can make better, more informed decisions that way.
Right, right. I looked up a couple of reviews about you I wanted to touch on. All right, here's one from Diane Ellis. Dr. Satija is efficient, kind, and very knowledgeable. You don't feel rushed when she's evaluating your eyes, and she explains everything very well. I'm happy with the staff at the and the office, as everyone was welcoming. Another one here from Pat Green. Dr. Satija is professional and personable. When I told her I was moving, she took the time to find the information I needed so I could finish my eye correction in the state I was moving to. I was very grateful. So those tell me a few things. One, you listen to people, you know, and I'm telling you, that means a lot, and you're not in a hurry. Unfortunately, I think our healthcare system, where, you know, you wait forever for an appointment, you get 12 minutes with a doctor, you know, they're rushing through everything. And that is not even visiting with all the other doctors we've done so far.
Yeah.
You guys take your time and take care of patients in such a great way.
Yeah. We really try. Like, I understand some days you're going to come in and the visit's super easy. You have no problems, and that's great. But sometimes there's real problems going on. We want to give you that time to ask the questions that you need, because these are important decisions you're making, and you need to know. You need to, you know, we're here to try to educate you and help you make those decisions, but ultimately it's your health.
Right, right. Now, I was telling you, asking you a little bit before the show of kind of what you got into this, and we'll get to that, but then what also made you, well, let's start there. Let's let folks know. My mind's running 100 miles. I want to ask you so many things, but, you know, I told you this way. Smart people can usually do anything about they want to do. You could have probably went in any medical field you would have chosen. What led you to this field of ophthalmology?
Yeah. You know, it was just kind of a serendipitous thing. Like, I just kind of fell into it, and I feel really lucky that I found it. But I was just undergoing my medical training. I had always wanted to be a doctor, like since I was a little girl. Yeah. And so when I went to medical school, I knew I wanted to be a surgeon. And I started just looking at different types of surgical subspecialties. And I found some people who were interested in ophthalmology. And once I got exposed to the field and I met some ophthalmologists, like these are the happiest doctors that I know. Mm-hmm. And it's great. It's a really good field. I feel very lucky that I found it that way. But it wasn't like I set out in my medical journey being like, I want to be an ophthalmologist. It was right. just like, it was very lucky that I was able to find the right people who guided me here.
Wow, that's very cool. Yeah. Now you're board certified, mm-hmm. okay, and corneal specialist. Explain what the board certified means. And then again, you chose kind of a field there to
Yes.
dive into it, the cornea.
Yeah. So the board certification is like, you know, some rigorous testing that we do after medical training to make sure that we are, you know, of the caliber that we should be mm-hmm. doctors. And specifically, we'll do the board exams in ophthalmology. So that's kind of like, you know, the level we have to be at to be considered proficient to practice on our own.
Right.
And then we continue to do testing every 10 years to make sure that we stay up on, you know, the newest and the greatest stuff and that we're up to date with everything.
Right.
And then I did a fellowship in cornea surgery. So I specialize in the front part of the eye, like the window mm-hmm. That you're looking through. So that includes like refractive surgery, like LASIK or PRK, or we'll do corneal transplants. We'll take care of corneal infections. And then I do still a lot of like general ophthalmology and cataract surgery. So this is just in addition to that, I have a little bit more to offer
right.
my patients.
Are there just some people that are more susceptible to eye type infection? Or, I mean, if we want to say, hey, how do you keep from needing Dr. Celine,
yes.
I mean, are there tips you can give, or is it just the luck of the draw where somebody
gets? Some of it is definitely luck of the draw, like just your genetics with like most medical problems, mm-hmm. like your parents pass stuff down to you and then you get to deal with it.
Wow.
But okay. a lot, I think in terms of like infections,
right.
the biggest thing that I see is people who wear contact lenses. And so the best thing that you really have control over is really taking care of your contact lenses, because mm-hmm. people who sleep in them and shower in them, they don't take good care of them. You can get these really, really awful eye infections, which I would never wish upon my worst enemy. It's just, it's painful. And
what's the longest time you've ever had a patient come in and they were honest with you to say, I've worn my contacts for?
Well, I have had some patients who didn't know that there were contacts in their eye. And it had been like, we don't even know how long. Like months potentially that there's just been a contact in there. They didn't really feel it. They were like, something's funny, but yeah, I took 4 different contact lenses out of one patient's eyes. Like,
oh, really?
I'm like, put it in the morning, take it out at night.
Right. It's
throw
not hard,
it away.
Yeah. I did struggle with that for a while too. Cause I only wore one in my left eye just so I could read small print.
Yeah.
And I was just, cause like I say, you don't feel it. It felt good. But then mm-hmm. I caused a little ulcer on an eye.
Yeah.
But not, and then that's when I said, okay, I'm done with this. I'm going to do this.
Yeah. I'm like, you go through that one time.
Yeah. It was
like,
scary.
Never again.
Yeah. Again, if you're just joining us, Dr. Salim Satija is with us and a Colorado Eye Consultants. Their number 303-730-0404, ColoradoEyeConsultants.com. They're over here off of Mineral and Littleton. And again, I just cannot say enough great things about the staff from the time making my own personal initial appointment till surgery was finished, follow-up from that. It has been just an excellent experience. And if you've been thinking about some cataract surgery and some other things they do here that we've gone over in these segments, highly recommend Colorado Eye Consultants. All right, now we talked about a corneal specialist. So breaking it down, what exactly is the cornea and why is it so important to our vision?
So the cornea is this clear window that you look through. It's on the very front part of the eye. It helps focus light. So sometimes like if the cornea gets misshapen from something called keratoconus, you can get a lot of difficulty with your vision where you get a lot of like doubling of the vision or letters will appear to have like ghosting next to them. So there's a lot of different things that we treat from the cornea having to do with trying to keep it clear and not have fluid building up in it, or keep it, you know, a very regular contour. So anything that affects that will affect your vision ultimately.
Right. Now that keratoconus.
Keratoconus, yes.
Is that a condition you see quite a bit?
It is, actually. I think.
And does it come on just real slow with people? Or they just wake up one day and something's weird?
Usually in their like late teen years. So a lot of times what happens is these kids will be home. They're doing great. They go off to some school and they're like, oh, I can't really see anymore. And they may not say anything because they're right. not at home. They're not talking to their parents that much. But people will usually see a vision decline around that age. And that's the keratoconus that's being, you know, that's developing where the cornea is starting to be shaped oddly. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, starting to be shaped like a cone. That's what it's named for.
Wow.
And so we have a procedure that we can actually halt the progression of the keratoconus.
Okay.
And so if you catch it early, then you may not develop full-blown keratoconus. And if you have full-blown keratoconus, sometimes people will need like corneal transplant. So it can mm-hmm. be very bad.
And this happens in teens.
It does.
Because most of the time we think eye doctors, eye stuff, it's old people, cataract.
Mm-hmm.
But eye care is important
yeah.
early on. And getting good eye exams, you know?
Absolutely.
Right?
And really, I think, you know, young people are hard to get in
sure.
to the doctor in general. But
and men.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, any change where you've something that you used to be able to do, you can no longer do, mm-hmm. warrants a visit to the doctor.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's not that hard, is it?
Yeah.
So what are some of the most common conditions you see, you know, on a daily, weekly basis here?
We see a whole range of stuff here. I do see a lot of cornea conditions. We talked about keratoconus. I also see a lot of Fuchs endothelial dystrophy. And, you know, other types of cornea conditions, but we see a lot of cataracts. That's probably our main, you know, thing that we treat.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see a lot of like diabetes in the back of the eye. We see a lot of macular degeneration. We treat a lot of glaucoma. So we still do the full spectrum of everything. And then I just see a lot of the patients who have specific cornea problems as well.
All right. You can see, and I tell people this all the time, I mean, why wouldn't you want to invest in your eyes? I don't care what age you are. Every year, just get an eye exam, you know?
Yeah.
Because you know what? You can see medical conditions through the eye, can't you?
You can. Absolutely.
And like you said, to catch it early.
Yes.
Is always a win-win. You never hear doctors say, oh, I wish you hadn't come in this early.
Yes.
But you have doctors say, how long has this been happening?
Exactly.
For a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing what people will ignore or just not really notice. Like sometimes we'll see people who probably lost vision in one eye months ago. And because they have two eyes and they don't close that, you know, eye to see,
sure.
they don't even notice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right. Now, looking in your bio again, it says latest in corneal transplant. So the minute you hear the word transplant, you know we're serious, in a serious deal here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is kind of that corneal transplant, and how does that work? I mean, is that a long surgery? Is it a shorter surgery? How does it work?
So corneal transplants, there's kind of a range of what we can do. The most, you know, the biggest one we do is a full thickness corneal transplant where we actually.
So there's different levels.
There's different levels.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll basically cut out the center portion of the cornea and then put a whole new cornea in there. So if there's something that is like a big scar that goes through the entire cornea, then we may do a full thickness corneal transplant. That's going to be, you know, a slightly longer surgery, but still similar to cataract surgery in terms of being same day surgery. You don't have to be admitted to the hospital.
Okay.
You have like 1 week of limited activities, but you're not bedridden or anything after that. Mm-hmm. And then we have partial thickness transplants, where if only one portion of the cornea is affected, we can just transplant a very small piece of tissue.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I know. The partial thickness transplants have only been around, you know, like 10, 15 years. So
okay.
It's really changed the way that we
do. So you came in at a good time and not
exactly.
these prehistoric days.
I know.
Now, do most of these things happen from an injury or most of them just with age and different
I would
things?
Say it's more the conditions that are passed down
okay.
like genetically that people develop than trauma, but definitely trauma can cause a lot of these problems as well.
Right. So so basically the two types are full or partial.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Pretty easy. Okay. Donor. Sometimes you hear people donating eyes. Somebody knew I was going to do this. They said, ask about that because on my license it says, how does that play into eyes when people want to donate something?
These corneal transplants that we get are from donors. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's
it. Yeah. So we're lucky here in the U.S. We have pretty good access. Like we have a fair amount of donors. And so we don't typically have shortages for corneas, but you'll see like other parts of the world, it is really hard to get cornea tissue. So we're really lucky here.
And people could just simply put that on their
license. Yeah, they put it on their license.
And what a gift to give.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
Exactly. I know.
Of all the things you can donate and give, sight.
I know.
Would be huge.
Yeah.
So everybody should do that.
Exactly.
I mean, if you got healthy eyes, right?
Yeah. And they check all of that. You know, they check and make sure that the tissue that we're going to be getting is going to be healthy to be given to another person.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really, really amazing gift that you can give.
Right. And as you said, most of these surgeries, same day.
Yeah.
I mean, few restrictions, but overall, they're pretty simple from the medical, from your side and from the patient's side, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of surgeries that we do in the body overall, like the risk of complications is lower, mm-hmm. much lower for eye surgery. And you don't have months and months of physical therapy and pain you have to go through.
Sure.
I think like a lot of the surgeries that people do, it's hard after.
Right.
Whereas I feel like eye surgery, your recovery is pretty fast.
No,
you
I couldn't
get your
believe
vision back pretty
I walked
fast.
Out and it was like I had got some kind of new 4K color TV in my eye. You know what I mean? I mean, the colors were so vivid and I could see really good. And man, now I can read the smallest print.
Yeah.
No, and yet I've still got my vision, and I'm an outdoors guy, hunting, things like that. So I was like, oh, I don't want to mess up my eyesight. And I'm so thrilled I did this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and I tell people all the time, go in, get a good eye exam, see if you're a candidate. I didn't know if I was a candidate.
Yeah.
You know, I've just had a lot of friends in my age range that were getting this done, and they
right.
were loving it. And I thought, well, I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah.
And man, so glad I did.
Well, I think, you know, the vision declines slowly over
mm-hmm.
time, and people just don't really notice because you don't remember what your vision was like 20 years ago or 10 years ago.
Right.
And so it's very, you know, it's gratifying, and it makes, you know, everybody feel good when all of a sudden people are like, I could see leaves on the tree that I haven't seen in years.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. I know.
Yeah,
it was
amazing.
Really good. Really good. Once again, it's Colorado Eye Consultants, 303-730-0404. And hey, the team here will be glad to help you. Now, one thing I do want to point out, I should have made you play something. You're an accomplished violinist.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
See, I'll have to go to Laura and say, we need to come up with a Colorado Eye Consultant theme song and let you play the violin. That's a cool instrument.
Yeah.
I need to play.
I know. I grew up playing a lot of classical music. I played like in the, you know, my university symphony. But recently I'm trying to delve a little bit more into other genres. So I want to try to learn how to fiddle and just kind of use it more in my day-to-day life.
Right. Well, Dr. Slane, thanks for spending time. Do we miss anything that you cover? Because I'm going to cover everything that you cover. Really, the corneal transplant and dealing with all that,
That's my main
focus.
We do a lot of cataract surgery. Those are my main gigs.
Main gigs. Well,
yeah.
Good. Well, I know they're glad to have you here.
Yeah.
And
well, thank you
folks,
so much.
I'm telling you, if you're looking for quality, really personal eye care. I mean, here's the thing, last thing I'll close with, and for talking to other doctors and all, so many physicians' offices have gone this big corporate structure.
Yeah.
And man, it doesn't take long to realize the care goes down. That's not the case here.
I mean,
all the owners are involved.
Yes.
Physician owned. I mean, this is a well-oiled machine is the way I would put it. I mean, like I said, from the time I walked in, to just going through all the steps for my cataract surgery and the actual surgery and all. I mean, just super care. I mean, from the people walking you back to a room, they don't have to talk to you, you know, but they did, you know, and they're like, oh, we're so glad to have you, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it just made it feel different.
Yeah. I mean, we are just so lucky. We feel We really love our patients. We love to be able to provide this service, and we appreciate just, you know, being here.
Well, good. Yeah. Dr. Celine Sataja, she can help you. Hey, come in, get a good eye exam, see what your needs may be, and hey, you're going to get confirmation you're good, or you may find out something you need some help. And the folks at Colorado Eye Consultants are standing by to help you. 303-730-0404. ColoradoEyeConsultants.com. This is Haystack Help Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
How much do you need to lower your monthly mortgage payment? $200, $300, $400 or more? As rates decline, take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Over 24 years of saving Coloradans money. Low rates, lower payments, less costs. What makes us different is we listen. As an independent mortgage broker, we shop the top lenders to save you the most. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Want to purchase your next home? You can't qualify unless you sell your current home? Let us show you how to get the down payment out of your current home, qualify for the new one, and then sell yours for the most. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. So you want to buy a home? Let us show you loans that can save you money. Low down payment, first-time home buyer specials, fixed rates in the fours with buy-downs. Call for details, 720-895-0500, or apply now at aimortgage.net. That's Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. Regulated by DORA, NMLS, 217-147, Equal Credit Lender.
This is KLZ 560, your home station.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Before we get out here today, we have our exclusive audiologist with us, Dr. Melissa Fling, Custom Ear Solutions. Her number is 720-839-7705. Dr. Fling, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. How's the hearing exams going today?
The ear mold hearing exam business. Well, most people don't take up my offer to have a hearing evaluation.
I know. We were talking that before we came on air today. And folks, look. I know none of us like to even go to a doctor, you know, unless we're sick. But think about this. And if we were to do a little bit more on the preventative side of things, how much healthier would we be? Okay? How much better off would you be? It's just like your car. I was talking with a guy about this the other day. We were talking about, you know, I was trying to get him to go do some scans they were doing at a cardiology place. And he goes, ah, I feel great. And I said, well, look. You take your car in for little things, preventative things with oil and different things like that. You know, you get your brakes checked. You do all these things. Why? To save from the bigger expense. So this, I'm not saying from the bigger expense. I'm saying from losing your hearing. Isn't $125 worth just getting a good baseline of where your hearing is today so you know, and then you can actually see when you go back annually? I mean,
yeah.
It's crazy to me that people, you know, don't want to do that.
I mean, you do maintenance on your car to prevent a breakdown, right?
Right.
You do the same thing with your body. You don't want to have a body breakdown.
Sure.
And the hearing, I mean, it's good for everybody, I think, to have a baseline hearing evaluation, especially once, if you haven't had one before you enter into your 50s, it's definitely valuable to have one once you're into your 50s. Yeah. That's where most people will start to show very slow onset of age-related hearing loss. Mm-hmm. But it's even more crucial. My target population is people that are noise exposed or exposed to loud sound of any kind on a regular basis, whether it's things you're doing at work or in your personal life for fun, or both. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that we want to catch early, get them good hearing protection to prevent noise-induced disorders like hearing loss, tinnitus, hypersensitivity to loud sound. I want to get them in sooner, educate them about the risk factors, and make sure they've got good hearing protection that they're using consistently, and recheck their hearing on an annual basis.
Right.
You know, it's preventive hearing care. And of course, if you already have hearing loss or tinnitus, I still want to help you too. I want to make sure that we keep things stable so that your hearing isn't declining rapidly from continued noise exposure without good hearing protection.
Right. And this just isn't a, quote, senior type thing anymore. I don't think, you know, with 55, 60, 70, 80 years old, whatever. Because, man, you look at the last 10 years of just the evolution of different hearing devices that, I mean, you can't walk anywhere 5 minutes and not see someone with something in their ear, you know, yeah. Some kind of iPod, yeah. And I don't even know the names of all of them, but I mean, they're always listening. You look at people on airplanes, you get on an airplane, 70% of people will have some kind of headphones on, you know?
Yeah.
So this is something, hey, you go, hey, I'm 35, I'm good. Maybe not.
Right. So, especially if you're wearing Bluetooth,
right.
Earbuds, earphones all the time. That's a risk factor right there for hearing loss.
Let me ask you this. Can you listen to something, quote, at a safe level too long?
Yeah.
And that be a damage, and you think, hey, I'm on, you know, it goes to 10, the volume, I'm at 3, I should be good.
Yeah.
But if you listen to it for 9 hours, that could be a problem.
It's a good question because, you know, OSHA looks at kind of the starting volume where it can get dangerous at 85 decibels. So if you're listening to 85 for 8 hours or more, you're starting to be at risk for getting noise-induced hearing loss. But I wonder if you're just listening to something at 60 decibels for nonstop, let's say, would that cause hearing loss? And I think in the research they've said no, that's safe, but I'm not convinced of that. I wonder if there would be some wear and tear over time if you're just constantly listening to something that's a little elevated, like 60 or 70 dB. I bet there would be some wear and tear over time. It might just be slower.
Right.
Yeah.
Once again, it's Custom Ear Solutions, Dr. Melissa Fling. Her number 720-839-7705. When you call, let her know you heard her here on KLZ 560, and we would appreciate that as well. But I really just wanted to get her on a few minutes today and just say, hey, get in for a hearing test. You know what? I think we've all seen over the last few years, hey, there's a lot of health issues going on, and we need to be more aware of our health and what's going on. If you can't remember when you had your last hearing test, probably time to call 720-839-7705 and schedule one. All right, it's $125, and we've mentioned this before, and I just want to mention her mission is to protect the hearing you have. So she offers us a lineup of different things there. I just bought some sleep molds from her to help, you know, on trips, different things like that. I purchased some hunting things and some shooting range type devices from her. I wear some things here in the studio where she made me some custom. And I'm telling you, custom is the word for Custom Ear Solutions. And I promise you, she'll take great care of you. Just mention you heard her here on KLZ. So, Dr. Fling, thank you. And we'll look forward to our visit next time on Listen Up.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us today. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Crancy, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
With the weather heating up and summer plans in place, make sure your pets are ready for the season too with the caring team at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and whether it's for a checkup, vaccinations, parasite prevention, allergy care, dental services, or surgical needs, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is ready to help your pet stay healthy and active all summer long. Planning a vacation? Their professional boarding services make it easy, and you'll know your pets are being cared for by people you can trust. And if your dog or cat needs a little freshening up, their professional groomers will help your pet look and feel its very best. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, no matter what your pet needs, they've got you covered. Privately owned for 25 years, they are certified by the American Animal Hospital Association with its highest rankings and hold an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call today, 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050 to schedule your pet's next visit. Check out their website at LoneTreeVet.com. Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. It's the place where my pets go.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you've been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people view the evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one who's hurt, you have a good idea of what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals whom you don't know and were witnesses to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886.
You're listening to 560 KLZ, your home station. Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we would like to welcome you to Your Health Matters, as mentioned. In our opening, it is brought to you by Integrated Health Systems. Their number, 303-781-5617. And actually doing something a little bit different today. The way the schedule's worked out, I decided to come over to Integrated Health Systems and do a live remote with our guest, Elizabeth Mankey. She is the functional nutritionist here. And their number is 303, as I mentioned, 781-5617. I just always want to, don't forget to mention this, it is always a free initial consult. Just call and mention the show, and they cover a lot of things here, and we'll touch on a few of those today with Elizabeth, but mainly we're going to focus on the nutrition side of things. So, Elizabeth, it's great to do this in person. How are you?
Lots of fun. Yeah, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. As I mentioned, Elizabeth is a functional nutritionist here, so she handles all things nutrition, and maybe that's where you need some help. I need some help. I met with her last week, and because you know what? To get on that road to better health, it all starts with really what we're eating and what we're not eating. So we were talking before we started recording that New Year's, everybody does the New Year's resolutions and makes all their promises to themselves. But I wonder how many people, if we could get a show of hands that are listening to the show right now, you're still doing what you said January 1. Sometimes those percentages drop. Yeah. Why is that?
So I think a big part of it is that people think it has to be all out, all at once, big change, leaps and bounds. And in reality, it's the small incremental steps that make the biggest changes. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one big reason. One thing that I like about the new year is that it isn't necessarily that it has to be major nutrition changes, but people seem to suddenly be more aware of their health and what's going on. And I had a patient come in last week who is like, you know, I've had these nodules on my arm for about the last 2 years. I think it's time to do something about it. And that I love, because it's like this time of change that is provided for us. It's the new year. Why don't we make some changes? I love that.
Right.
So that is really nice to have that awareness of people understanding, you know, or wanting some understanding what's going on with their health. The nutrition piece, I think, goes back to what are the smaller steps that an individual can take to lead to more comprehensive change.
Right. The word diet you probably dislike, because that means probably something temporary to most people. But there are so many out there. In our appointment last week, we discussed, I mean, and how do you go about when people come in?
when they just mention, hey, I want to lose some weight, where does that conversation start then? What are your next questions when they say, I want to lose some weight? What do you say?
So going back to your initial, yes, diet is tough because people do have a preconceived notion that it means I'm going to have to, like we just talked about, make these big leaps and bounds. I'm going to have to cut out all the things that I love, mm-hmm. and this is going to suck, essentially.
Right.
But it doesn't have to look that way. So there are some cases where individuals will be really, really sick, and we have to essentially take that into account and make big changes. Now, you mentioned weight loss. That's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. That's more, hey, you know, for health or for aesthetic change or whatever that looks like, I want to lose some weight. and so that's where we'll do, first and foremost, always a thorough look at the individual, all the different body systems, because if there's something like a thyroid issue going on, where maybe that individual has low thyroid or hypothyroidism, that can contribute to weight gain.
Right.
If an individual is not sleeping, if you look at studies, if you look in the literature, you can see that sleep has a major role in ghrelin production, which is the hunger hormone. So you're going to be hungrier if you're sleeping less. So these are all things that we have to look at, not just a person's diet.
Right.
But once we take that inventory, once we look at blood work, once we get that picture, then we also have this additional step of, hey, what exactly are you eating? And that's what I love to do. Mm-hmm. Love to do is go through the nitty gritty, the very fine tuned, like,
right.
What are you eating in a day? What does a week look like? Oftentimes we'll do food tracking and things like that to get a really, comprehensive picture at what exactly that individual's eating. Then we tailor make plans to fit that individual's needs.
Right.
So some people, Scott, are like, listen, if you take away my coffee, this ain't going to work. And we can.
It is amazing the habits that we come up with that we just, I mean, that's the first thing I do in the morning is have coffee, you know. Mm-hmm. But I know people that drink, you know, 6-7 cups in the morning. I'm good with one.
Yeah. And it's not that coffee is a bad thing. It's more, again, like tailor making. What does this individual need to change in order to, move forward with what their goal is.
Mm-hmm. Again, Elizabeth Mankey is our guest. She's a functional nutritionist here at Integrated Health Systems. As I mentioned, their number is 303-781-5617. You know, when you mentioned something there, that I think you should get some good blood work done and kind of get a baseline of where things are before you even start a, quote, diet, right?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you miss something, like, just to use the example again, like a low thyroid, then making big changes to diet aren't going to be as helpful and people are going to lose motivation. And, you know, it's like you're not addressing the root of the issue. and oftentimes, like, it's frustrating because we aren't given a whole lot of nutrition education, yet for some reason, we tend to correlate weight with food. And that's valid.
Right.
That's absolutely valid. But at the same time, if you don't look at the full picture, you could be missing one of those critical pieces.
All right. Are all diets healthy in their own way that they were designed? Because I remember HCG several years back, I think that's like a 500 calories a day diet. you probably don't need the drops or shots with an HCG. If you're eating 500 calories, you're probably going to lose some weight.
Probably going to lose some weight.
Yeah.
The issue with really caloric restriction like that is that the body metabolically adapts to where caloric intake was. So let's say somebody, to use your example, was eating 2,000 calories a day, just to keep it simple, and then all of a sudden they drop to 500 calories. Their body is going to change metabolism to better hold on to the calories that it is getting. On top of that, it's also going to shift hormones to get more food, get more calories. So if you I think we talked about this way long time ago on the show, but if you think back to times of famine, when an individual found food or was able to eat, the body would store rapidly and hold on to everything that it could, because who knew when that individual was going to be able to eat again. We still have that same mechanism in place. So there is a lot kind of quote-unquote working against someone who is just doing caloric restriction,
right,
whether that be hormones or that kind of more ancient mechanism at play. That being said, I do want to acknowledge that oftentimes individuals who are eating a super high calorie diet not only need to change what they're eating, but do need to decrease caloric intake as well. So there's, again, that comes back to like what fits the needs of the individual based on their current situation.
Right. You mentioned metabolism, and you've heard terms resetting your metabolism. Is that a thing you can do, is reset metabolism?
Yeah. It takes a while. Right. It definitely takes a while, but it absolutely can be done. If you look at some of the obesity literature, it'll say, like, it points to that metabolic adaptation and resetting metabolism as a years-long process.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to discourage people. That's just to ultimately set people up for success versus going into something and thinking, if I just calorically restrict for 2 weeks, I'll lose a bunch of weight and I'll be able to keep it off. There's so many internal mechanisms working against that process that it's not fair to the individual to say that is what's going to lead to success for you.
Right.
Versus, you know, the more long-term sustainable change. The other point with that, Scott, is that one thing I really like to work into a lot of patients' plans is helping that individual to understand that body mass, like our brains perceive fat mass and lean mass to some degree the same when it comes to metabolism. So if we lose fat mass but we increase lean mass, meaning muscle, the body doesn't really care. Or sorry, the brain doesn't really care. It still thinks that, you know, X, Y, and Z person weighs 200 pounds. So that's why it's not just diet, it's lifestyle changes. It's, are you sitting all day at your job? And if so, how can we get you moving? How can we get you walking, exercising, swimming, playing with your kids, like whatever that looks like,
right,
to ultimately shift that totem from fat to lean.
Mm-hmm. Again, Elizabeth Mankey is our guest. And once again, it's Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617. What are the most popular diets these days in 2025? I mean, what are the top 2, 3, 4 you hear of, or people walk in, oh, I want to do this?
Yeah, lately it has, I love that question. Lately it has definitely been, I can think of two main ones. The first is carnivore. That one has been super popular. And it makes sense why. I mean, people love meat. Meat is delicious.
Right.
It has so many wonderful nutritional properties. Though carnivore also includes things like eggs and fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think dairy to a small amount, although you can argue that one. So the carnivore is super popular. And then the Whole30 diet is super popular. Whole30 is a little bit different. If you're eating meat, you're eating fruits, veggies, you're also eating nuts, seeds. The biggest exclusions are grains, so wheat, corn, oats, rice, among others. And then those are the top four. And then legumes, sugars, alcohol, that sort of thing.
Okay.
So it's interesting because we use the term diet to describe changes to what we're consuming, or like we were just talking about, major caloric restriction. I'm going on a diet. I'm just eating celery, you know?
Right.
But ultimately, both the carnivore diet and the Whole30 and the FODMAPs, for that matter, and autoimmune paleo are all elimination diets at their core. They're all working to remove certain foods that can be inflammatory for a lot of people and Oftentimes, the goal for people is adding those foods back in systematically to see how the body does, to see how the body handles those foods. So while they are different in nature, there's a lot of similarities.
Right. When people come in, do they have an idea already a lot of times of some diet they've heard of, or do they just kind of tell you what their goal is and you try to figure out what diet may be best for them? Or, and when I say diet, what foods may be best for them?
Yeah. Honestly, in our office, we do see a lot of mystery cases. So for those individuals, they've probably already tried a number of diets and haven't found success. I do have some patients. So yeah, I'd say it's like a good half of our patients have tried a lot of different diets and just haven't found anything super helpful, anything to hold on to. And then maybe a fourth come in, you know, wanting to try X, Y, and Z diet because they've heard a lot of good things or they've listened to Huberman or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then another fourth already practice said diet, perceive it to have health benefits for them. And fair enough. And so they'd like to continue that or make subtle tweaks.
Right. Weight seems to do so much, being at the proper weight for our health, you know. And I do a show with a doctor in Dallas, I think I've mentioned before. And he said many times that people will lose 10% of their current body weight. It does magic to like blood numbers and all kinds of. He's seen people get off medications with just 10% of their current body weight. And I think, and look, I heard a deal the other day where it said over 40-something percent of Americans are obese, you know. And I forgot the number on the teen obesity, but it was super, super high. And this is something we're going to have to get under control here. We're going to see diabetes and type 2 diabetes skyrocket, aren't we?
Absolutely. And I think they already are. The obesity, really, epidemic is pretty severe. If you look at numbers 50 years ago compared to now, it's so drastic. It's almost unrecognizable. Other issues are also popping up. Non-alcoholic fatty liver in children, let alone adults, is a really big thing. And so I think that in many ways goes back to what we were speaking of a couple moments ago, which is, yes, there is the kind of caloric component where if a child who is 5 years old is eating 3,000 calories a day, that's way too much. Mm-hmm. But also, what are those calories consisting of? Is it ice cream? Is it chips? Is it candy bars? And, you know, like what exactly are these children eating that is contributing to these adverse health outcomes at such a young age?
Right. Do you find a lot of people don't get enough like protein in their diet and too many carbs?
Yeah. And that's, it's kind of a testament to that is if children, so the things that children really, really enjoy are the sweet, savory, carby, crunchy foods that have been mechanically and chemically tailored to their taste buds. Mm-hmm. And that's a really, it's a problem, let alone being pretty scary, because now we're seeing children opt for, you know, the vending machine foods and maybe even being addicted, you know.
Yeah.
Thinking of that process of, okay, I see the candy bar, I'm having the dopamine surge, I'm getting the candy bar, and more dopamine's coming. Like that process of entraining the body and the brain and the taste buds to those super chemically sweet foods. Whereas, and also on that point, like it takes, I think a lot of parents don't know this, it takes like 10 tries with a food with a baby or a young child before they actually begin to develop a palatability for it. So vegetables, fruits, particularly vegetables, but yeah, even meats, fish, more eclectic foods, more eclectic flavors, umami, you know, like these kind of more unusual flavors takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So to go back to your question, yes, I think children, adults, teens are developing a taste for the foods that are, again, chemically directed towards consumption, and they're not getting enough protein, they're not getting enough fiber to really support healthy blood sugar levels, healthy metabolism, healthy lipid levels, things like that.
Right. And you hear of other things in other countries. Like I heard something the other day, and I think it was RFK Jr. talking about all this stuff, but he said like there are 10,000 type food ingredients here in the U.S. and there's like 400 ingredients in other countries. And I've heard of people that were gluten-free, go to other countries, they can eat the bread there. Mm-hmm. They can eat the, you know, people can eat pasta there, whatever, but it's just made different.
Exactly.
And that wouldn't be a bad thing probably for us to adopt in some ways. Because, I mean, honestly, I feel like when I'm eating something, okay, this tastes good, I should probably spit it out. Because because you're not supposed to be eating it. I mean, you know, that's the way you feel sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And it is interesting when we look at other countries at how – at their different rules and regulations surrounding food and food production. Mm-hmm. So this could be – well, yeah, it, again, kind of like more to what you're saying, in European countries, they don't allow a majority of the genetically modified crops that we do here. They also don't allow glyphosate, which is a Monsanto chemical pesticide that gets sprayed onto crops that is a major cause of issues for a lot of people. I'm pretty sure couple years ago, an individual won a case claiming that glyphosate caused his cancer, and he won. so, like, we're without getting too political, there are major issues with the food production industry, like foods that are unhealthy or have less nutrition being subsidized by the government. Again, if you go over, like you're saying, to some European countries, you can have, I think, even just two patients right now who traveled over there, do just fine with their bread, like you're saying, do just fine. And then they come back and they're like, okay, back to the gluten-free stuff.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot.
But it does seem like
that.
It is more recognizable now in restaurants. A lot of people have gluten-free things, but you still have to be careful if you're really – and what's the difference? I always wonder this. Waitresses always ask Victoria, my wife, because she is. They go, are you gluten sensitive or an actual allergy? What's the kind of difference there?
So there is gluten sensitive and there's celiac. Someone with celiac cannot consume gluten because it will – there are different barrier layers to your intestines. And some people, if they have celiac – or people, if they have celiac, can't consume gluten because it essentially penetrates those layers and causes an a pretty extreme immune response. People who are gluten sensitive are different. They can still consume gluten. It just might give them cramping or stomach upset or constipation, diarrhea, or gas, or things like that. So there is a big difference between those two.
Right.
And I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons why, people are waitresses, teachers, like that kind of world is wanting to understand what exactly that person's dealing with.
All right. Again, Elizabeth Mankey is our guest. If you're just joining us, she is the functional nutritionist at Integrated Health Systems. Their number 303-781-5617. And hey, if you've been struggling since the first year, you set yourself some goals, you haven't been able to stay on track, I'm telling you, it's absolutely proven. You will do better with a coach, someone to help you, someone to keep you on track, someone to encourage you. And, hey, it's hard to stay on all the time, so, hey, you mess up, get back on it. But sometimes that's hard on our own. So give them a call, 303-781-5617, and get in to see Elizabeth. And as I said, it is a free initial consult. For our listeners, just mentioned you heard them here on the show. So breaking down real quick. So the carnivore diet, that's pretty easy to explain. A lot of meat, right? And then you mentioned the paleo diet. What's kind of the quick concept of that diet?
Yeah, autoimmune paleo is, you can think of it as more like medical nutrition therapy. Because not quite, but in that kind of trajectory or realm. The concept behind it is you are taking out anything that could possibly be inflammatory to that individual.
Okay.
Without essentially taking out all food and saying, hey, sure, don't eat because right, you'll feel better. But it's similar, like we talked about, to some of these other diets. You're really having a focus on meat, fish, vegetables, fruits, good fibers, healthy fats, sweet potatoes as well. And again, the reasoning behind that is, can we take certain foods out so that ultimately we can, if there's inflammation going on, which with autoimmunity, like you're always trying to put that autoimmunity into remission because you can't make it go away. Once an autoimmunity is there, it's there. But can you help to put it in remission? And if there are certain food triggers, identifying those is a really important part of that process. So that's the biggest reason for the elimination diet. There are other workarounds. You can do labs to look at gluten sensitivity, to look at dairy, other foods that may be a contributing factor to inflammation, immune activation. But for a lot of people, it's the most simple is, hey, let's take these foods out and then for a time, and then one by one, we'll add them back in, see how the body responds.
Right. Last couple of minutes, but is fasting a good thing to do for a couple of days or 3 days? And you don't want to probably do it 5 days, but I mean, is a 2 or 3 day fast good for your body?
Yeah, fasting for a lot of people can be a really good thing. There are definitely individuals who I would not suggest fast. Those who have blood sugar dysregulation, particularly those who are more prone to low blood sugar or hypoglycemia. People like, eating disorder history, things like that.
Right.
Fasting, though, I mean, if you look at a lot of like religious history, fasting has been a part of humanity for a really, really long time. And I do, think that it's a really good thing. I don't know that someone who's never fasted should jump right into a 2 or 3 day fast.
Right.
But even intermittent fasting can be useful for a lot of people,
sure,
like we talked about with weight loss or wanting to, help the autophagy process and clear the old and in with the new and things like that. it can be a really good thing for a lot of people.
Right. Good deal. Well, Elizabeth, our time has gone too quickly today, but we appreciate yours. So thanks for having us over. As we mentioned, we come to you live here from the World Headquarters of Integrated Health Systems. Their number is 303-781-5617. And, hey, call and make an appointment, Elizabeth. You know, like I say, good health really does start with what we're eating and what we're not eating. All right. So if you want to get a handle on it, I highly recommend Elizabeth. So give her a call, 303-781-5617. So Elizabeth, we'll look forward to our next conversation.
Awesome. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks for being with us today for Your Health Matters. It's Integrated Health Systems. Let them know you heard them here on KLZ 560. Thanks for being with us. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation, 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Steadman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.